Would everyone again stand, please? And let's sing our song. I am determined and I've made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. I've left the world and its pleasures behind. I will serve the Lord. I'll follow wherever He leads me. I'll pasture wherever He feeds me. For I am determined and I've made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. You may be seated. And may God bless us all again this afternoon, and especially I just appreciate being with a group of people of all different ages, and I believe that this is the desire of our heart. Would like to tell the youth how much I appreciated talking to you and listening to and seeing your interest, and I just hope it's an encouragement and you. We all sing this song together. We made up our mind we're going to serve the Lord. Now today, this afternoon, the last session, we want to talk the blessing and responsibility of grandparenting. I wonder how many grandparents we have. If you're a grandparent, would you please stand? I want to see you. That's not bad for a crowd this size. Okay, thank you. You may be seated. Well, when I was assigned this message, I struggled quite a bit. I was like, oh, I just don't know what we're going to talk about. What does the Bible say? And I wish that I could just talk about grandmothers, because I live with a really good grandmother, grandma. There's a lot of little children call her grandma, and they love to come to grandma's house, and she always has room for them, and I could talk more about grandmas. But anyway, it's going to cover grandmas as well. And grandpas. Did you know that there is a day called National Grandparent Day? You probably knew that. President Jimmy Carter was in office and he signed it into law. He declared the first Sunday after Labor Day, he declared it to be Grandparents Day. Does anybody know what the flower is? The official flower for Grandparents Day is forget-me-nots. Doesn't that fit? Forget-me-nots. Isn't that what a lot of people worry about? Getting old and stuck off somewhere in a nursing home and get forgotten? If you visit nursing homes, you can hear it all the time. Nobody comes to visit me. And this is the first I've ever preached a message to for grandparents. I was asked over at Taylorsville over a year ago, so I'm preaching it here as well. Proverbs 17:6 says, children's children are the crown of old men. That's just saying in our language, grandchildren are the crown of the aged, and the glory of children is their fathers. And I would say what a blessing it is to be walking with a four-year-old grandson, and he runs up along and he reaches up, grabs your hand, says, Grandpa, I love you. That's just a blessing there. They're the grandchildren are the crown of the aged. Or maybe you get little notes from grandchildren with all the rainbow colors, and you're not sure what in the world it says or what it's supposed to be, but you know it means, I love you. That is really special. Grandchildren are the crown of the aged. And I like to hear it when grandchildren are telling their mom and dad, let's go to grandpa's house. Go to grandpa's house. That's a blessing. Someone has said if you raise your children, you can spoil your grandchildren. But if you spoil your children, you will raise your grandchildren. And that's pretty true in society today. Talk to a lot of people. A lot of elderly grandmas, and they got the grands with them. They're raising their grands. What happened to the parents? Well, that's the blessing. responsibility. Deuteronomy 4:9 says, only take care and keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and your children's children. That's the responsibility, Deuteronomy 4:9, to make known to your children's children, to your children and your children and grandchildren. Now, in Psalm 78, verses 4 through 8, and you're welcome to turn to that. Psalm 78. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. If I figured it up right, that's four generations in there. That verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. Oh, it goes on, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn, rebellious generation. Generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. I see here that our window of opportunity is so short. And we saw that this morning. It was illustrated so well on that bar graph, how short our window of opportunity. And so, grandparents, all of you that stood, get a burden for your grandchildren, and I believe you have it already. In Genesis 5, Lamech had a son. You remember who Lamech's son was? Well, it was Noah. Who was Noah's grandpa? And verse 25 says it was Methuselah. And Noah's great-grandpa, in verse 21, was Enoch. Great-grandpa, Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech. And then Noah. What do we know about Enoch? Everybody knows he walked with God. And so this is the foundational part of this whole message, is Grandpa, walk with God. Your children need your support for their grandchildren to raise the next generation. Grandpas need to be men that are godly from the inside and out, not some veneer that acts one way at one time and another. There's another thing that's important in this little genealogy that I gave you. History says that Methuselah and Lamech all died the same year of the flood. So, you know, it really had never dawned on me quite like that. What kind of support do you think Noah had from Dad and Grandpa? Shem, Ham, and Japheth had Dad, Grandpa, and Great-Grandpa. And I believe they were a tremendous support. Those old men were a tremendous support for Noah boy. You know, those old men, I'm sure Lamech still thought of Noah as his boy. We have four boys that we work together with on the farm. And the oldest one is almost 50. And it doesn't matter how long I live or he lives, he's still going to be my boy. I think Noah had more support there than I realized that he had. But our society today communicates a powerful message that grandparents are extras, not essential to the family. And I want to tell you, nothing could be further from the truth. The Bible teaches that grandparents are critical figures in the faith formation of the young. You just heard the scriptures we read. We have a real place in the formation of the young. A grandparent's main role is not to spoil a grandchild or be his or her companion. That's not our role, just to spoil them rotten. A grandparent's purpose is not to indulge themselves during the last third of their life. God designed grandparents as disciple makers for the purpose of passing on a heritage of faith to future generations. Are you awake? I know it's in the afternoon, but God has something a lot more for us than getting to the last third of our life and just we're going to live it up and we're going to, you know, get a boat, go to the lake, go fishing, just, you know, spend our grandchildren's inheritance, our children's inheritance and all that. God has a mission for us. And if we miss that, we completely miss it all. Grandparents are partners who have a critical role in reaching and discipling future generations. So I say, Grandpa, support your sons and your grandsons in every way you can. Grandpas can be a blessing or they can be otherwise. In 2 Samuel 15, verse 12, and Absalom sent for Ahithophel, the Gilonite, David's counselor from his city, even from Giloh, while he offered sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. You remember the story of Absalom and his rebellion and how he went to, forget the name of the city, for about 3 years. And finally, he talked to Joab, and Joab brought him back, and he was there a couple of more years, and he still hadn't seen his dad. And he was bitter. He was angry. He was filled with bitterness, it seemed, at his dad. And all the while, he was winning the hearts of the people. And so when he was ready to lead his insurrection, he called for Ahithophel. Absalom knew Ahithophel was bitter also. He asked Ahithophel for advice. Absalom took the part of trying to make David stink to all Israel. Ahithophel said, well, you go up and told Absalom, you go to your father's concubines in the sight of Israel. Absalom did that. But he also told him, he said, let me go with 12,000 men, and I'll get David and bring him back, and you'll have the whole kingdom. But Hushai had different advice, because it was not of the Lord for that to happen. Do you remember what happened to Ahithophel when his advice wasn't taken? And we'll connect the dots in a little, I hope. Ahithophel rode home. His advice wasn't taken. The man that he had a bad attitude about was not captured. Ahithophel rode home. And he hanged himself. Why? Why? I'm going to ask you something. What little girl called Ahithophel grandpa? When she was a little girl, what girl was it? Well, if you look in 2 Samuel 11:3, it says, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah? And if you look in the 23rd chapter, verse 34, it says, Eliam was the son of Ahithophel. See, Ahithophel had a son, Eliam. Eliam had a daughter, Bathsheba. So Bathsheba called Ahithophel grandpa. Ahithophel was her grandpa. Now, do you understand why Ahithophel wanted so badly to get even with the man who sinned against his sweet little granddaughter? The story makes sense. And when he couldn't get his way, he did what he shouldn't have done and went home and hanged himself. And bitterness, which is another subject, it will eat you from the inside out and cause tremendously sad endings. But what would give us greater gut-wrenching pains and bitterness than to see our granddaughters abused by those who are in authority and supposed to be men of integrity? So I'm saying, grandparents, help protect your grandchildren. And we talked about this on a broader level before. We don't need to be paranoid, neither do we need to be ignorant of the dangers around us. When children are in our care, we should keep an ear to the ground and our eyes open. 2 Timothy 1, I'm going to turn over to that. 2 Timothy 1, verse 2. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I served for my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. There we have it. Grandma, mother, grandson. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by putting on of my hands. And I hope that these meetings this weekend have been a means of stirring us up by way of remembrance. But here we see Paul's tender love and genuine concern for the man young enough to be his grandson. There in verse 2, Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy. Do you see the heart? That's the hearts, grandparents, that we need towards our children. Paul wanted to remind Timothy of his godly mother and grandmother as an encouragement for him to keep his chin up and to be strong. He told him in verse 7, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. I wonder what Timothy's thoughts were about his grandma. I have an idea. I think they were tender thoughts. His grandma had made a tremendous, solid impression on him. Grandparents, remember, we make huge impressions on our grandchildren. I wonder what you remember about your grandparents. Just let it roll around in your mind a little bit. What do you remember about your grandparents? I remember my maternal grandpa. He was one of the most godly men, you know, in my mind, he was probably the most godly man that ever lived. When he spoke, we listened. He wasn't loud, he wasn't boisterous, but when he spoke, it carried authority. And you could tell beyond a doubt the tone of his voice, inflection of in his voice, that he loved us. We knew he did. We listened. His presence, we always knew that beyond a shadow of a doubt, he loved God and his family. And as a little child, we could have thought that he was almost God. I happened to be named after him. I never liked my name in school. As a youngster, went to public school, and there was no other Simons around. I was so tickled to meet two Simons here today, besides myself. But I never liked my name in school, because every time they would, you know, ask my name, when I was in public school and little, I don't know why, but I called myself Simon in school, and that got lost out, and it's just Sim. And so they would either talk about, oh, Simon and Garfunkel. We never had TV. I didn't know what they were talking about, but they did. Or they would say something about Simon Says. So I didn't like my name until I began to realize, I grew up and realized what a man of God Simon L. Yoder was. And it changed my view of my name just because of Grandpa. My paternal grandfather was a different story. And interestingly, he was born in the state of Mississippi, up in the northern, up around Gibson. And I never had high respect for him. I didn't crave to go to see him like we did the grandpa that lived in Montezuma, Georgia. I knew the story of my dad needing to leave home. I mentioned it the other day when he was 11 years old, there in the Depression. And I knew that my dad never felt love from his dad. And everything was just so completely different than my other grandpa. Probably part of the difference was the difference in my parents' attitude about the grandparents, too. In other words, when you are close to your children, grandparents, when you are close to your children and they're close to you, it's just going to be the next thing on the string that the little grandchildren will love and respect you. And if you're distant from your children distant from you, you can expect it that grandparents will be just some old fogies somewhere that you don't have much to do with. That's just the way it is. Children will reflect the love, admiration, and respect of their parents towards the grandparents. So I say it here that good grandparenting is an extension of good parenting. Parents who are not bonded closely to their children don't usually make good grandparents. Grandparents, respect your children's parenting. Don't give sarcastic criticism about Shorty's behavior. You know what I mean? You remember what it was like, grandparents, when you had little children? And I'm sure we worried our parents pretty much sick for a while when they looked at our children. I know that I could see by the looks, and maybe I was deducting too much, but I think we worried them pretty much. Our children don't need to hear sarcastic, cynical remarks. And somehow we think from that, and now they're going to do a better job of parenting. It won't help. Now, there are times, I think, when it's in order for us to talk to them. Give them some help. Give them some encouragement. Give them a little affirmation. Compliment. They're doing something right. Give them plenty of encouragement. Remember that once we were young and inexperienced as well. Sometimes people ask about, should you spank your grandchildren? Should grandparents spank the grandchildren? And I believe that there's probably more than one way that this can be done. But I would say whatever you do, you should have the understanding with your children about the discipline of their children. Have an understanding. Personally, I don't like the idea of, I don't want to spank my grandchildren. Maybe I'm too soft. I want them to take care of them. But I have already. Let your grandchildren know you love them. Beyond a doubt, they should know it. One of our daughters told me recently the way children know that grandparents love them, she said it's spelled T-I-M-E. That's the way that's spelled, so the grandchildren know grandpa loves them and grandma loves them. Time. Spend time with them. Notice them. It's a little bit like the same thing we talked about, parents to the children. It's the grandparents to the grandchildren, too. Notice them. You know, they get a little older, and it's a challenge, but, you know, they get older and get a telephone, and I just love every once in a while to call one of them and just chat a little bit. I think grandchildren should be happy to see us. They should have a ready smile when they see us. And I just love it when those little grandchildren come running to me and just throw their arms around me. I love that. It tells a lot more than just wrapping their arms around my legs. Build with them when they are young. Don't wait till you think they're going to get older and then you're going to be close to your grandchildren. Draw them into your circle while getting into theirs. Get in their world. Do things with them. Play games with them. Read stories. Singing. And allow them into your house even at a young age. I knew of someone that said, well, they have to be at least, you know, a certain age before they could be dropped off. And I think you've just missed the most critical bonding years if you do that. You get them when they're little and you can bond with them. Build while they're young. Be involved with them and listen. Be a friend while being an authority. No, we don't need to be that grumpy old man. We can listen to them, but we don't need to let them run over us. We can have some authority established. They don't have to tear the house down, so to speak. We can tell them when it's, hey, you're getting a little too rough now. Let's calm down a little bit. So be a friend while being an authority, and do it without being grumpy. Tell them your stories, how things were when you were young, or how things were with your parents when they were young. Maybe talk about the old tractors you used to have and the old combines and oh my, but connect with them. I enjoy reading Uncle Remus stories to our grandchildren. Now, maybe you don't know what Uncle Remus is, but if you come over to Middle Georgia, you can find out. And I'm not going to take time to tell you about Uncle Remus, old black man. And all this with your deeper mission of leading them towards a faith in Christ. This is your deepest mission, grandpas. You're not trying to be just Mr. Nice Guy, just so you can be a sweet old man. But you have a deeper mission that you want to assist your children in helping their children on to glory and to getting established in life. And we need to remember that Jesus loved the children. He took them on his lap. Jesus never considered children to be like he's talked about today. I don't believe Jesus considered them to be kids. He didn't consider them to be ankle biters. He had time for them. He took them on his lap. He never disdained them. He rebuked those who had no time for children. And I want to tell you, it tells much of a nation, or it tells much of nations that don't want children. It tells a lot about societies that disdain children, or peoples, even churches that have a poor attitude about children and really don't want children. It tells a lot about them. So grandpas, grandmas, see your grandchildren through the eyes of God. What his perspective is of the children. How long will they be small? Oh, I just love that graph up there this morning, Aaron. How long will those children have that little old short ticker tape? It just stretches out so fast, and just as fast as theirs grows, ours does too, right? And how soon we will need them. I don't know how many of you have gotten to that place. But grandparents, impact your grandchildren while the clay is soft. That's my point. When you have clay that's moldable, help all you can with your children in molding that clay while it's young, while it's soft, before the clay becomes harder and less pliable. Grandparents, speak often of God and of Jesus. Affirm the truth of the Bible. You know, in Deuteronomy, I think we read the verse, this morning or yesterday, about telling your children and your children's children. And when do we do that? I think it should be just kind of like table talk, just normal conversation. Speak often of God and of Jesus, his goodness, and how he's taken care of us. Affirm the truth of the Bible often. You emphasize to your children that the Bible is true. It's God's word. And point out often the great design of the creation by the designer and the foolishness of evolution. Grandparents, we play a huge role in preserving cultural values and customs. Our role enriches a sense of belonging and nurtures emotional well-being and support, which is the foundation for growth. Our role enriches a sense of belonging and nurtures emotional well-being and support. Do you ever remember, maybe when you were little and mom and dad were gone and they showed up, and as soon as you saw mom and dad and the emotional support and how much better you felt just because they were there. And maybe now you're growing up and you have children, and if your parents are still living, and they show up on a scene, maybe even a troubled scene, and when they come, the same sense of emotional security is there. And that's what grandparents are supposed to be. So when we come, it's like an emotional security for our children and for the grandchildren. And there does come a point we begin to lean back on our children and even the grandchildren. The first I ever thought about it, and come to think about it, I was about the age of some of you young men back there when it happened. My dad died about 21 years ago, I was almost 50 years old. And that's when I noticed how much I needed the support of my children. They were growing into adulthood. And when I began to realize how much I needed them. And then my mom died a little over 3 years ago. And then I knew I needed my children and the grandchildren. Many of my siblings, some of our children were around the bed, siblings and even grandchildren were there. And the last song we sang was "Shall We Gather at the River?" And she was gone. She took that last breath. I still remember that little grandson. It was about 9 years old. Little Casey. His favorite song after that was "Shall We Gather at the River?" He could be in school taking selections. He'd call out, "Shall We Gather at the River?" Do you think it made an impression on him? Grandparents are the glue, I think, that bind the family together. And I hope you understand, I know not everybody has grandparents for various reasons. And families can function, families can operate. Children can grow up well, and grandchildren can grow well, but I'm talking about God's design. Grandparents are the glue that bind the family together. Do you know we still have a Simon L. Yoder reunion, which that was my grandfather. And this is unusual to go back this far and still call family in. And it's totally because of the man and his wife that we call Grandpa and Grandma. How close they were and how they knit us all together. And it was amazing to me, just slightly over 100 years ago, there were three in that family. It was my grandpa and my grandma and my mother. My mother was the oldest of the children. Just a little over 100 years ago, three people. At our last reunion, they figured it up and they got all the names together. Anybody have any idea? Y'all good at guessing numbers? There's over 1,700 today out of that, from those three. And the continued family of my grandparents all the way down. Grandparents, how do you want to be remembered when your grands are standing around your grave? What will they be thinking? Will it be a strong cord that has been broken? And what are we doing to impact while the clay is soft? I had one other thing that I wanted to talk about just a minute, and I didn't even write any notes on it. And I don't know if it's safe to get started or not, but I'm... Where's our timer, Aaron? I'm not going to talk on it long. But one of the things that has just impressed me very, very recently was the birth of nursing homes in this country. Has anybody studied that out? Do you know how old this concept is of the nursing homes that we have that are so common that are everywhere? They were just a around 1950, in that general time, was when the nursing home concept started coming in. And we've talked about that and so many things that have factored in that changes to put us to where we are. Because it was so many things that went along with that. And this was the same time that Medicare and Medicaid was coming in. This was the same time in the 50s when doctors and scientists had figured out ways where childbirth could be controlled and eliminated. This was the same time that the morality of the nation was going down. This was the same time that, okay, in 62 and 3, Bible reading and prayer taken out of public schools, and divorce, no contest divorce was legalized. California was the first state to do that in 1970, 73 Roe versus Wade. As you know, that was overturned recently. But we could go on until about 2015 when same-sex marriages were legalized. So this was all at that same time. The number of children were going down. Families didn't want a lot of children anymore. The same time that birth was given to the nursing homes. Who took care of the children, of the moms and the dads before that? The children. And I'm going to cut it short, but I believe that is still God's way. For the children to take care of the mom and dads. Who took care of us when we were little? Who stayed up with us at night when we were sick? And I know it's hard work. We took care of my dad to his death, took care of my mom to her death, and it takes a whole family effort. And I know, and I'm going to try to be real fair with it, that I know there are times when cases that there does need to be outside help. And I think Eastern has a old folks home, nursing home, real nursing home for those cases. But they aren't in any way advocating just sending your parents off to a nursing home. But there are cases, so I want to let that door open. There were special places way back before the 1950s where for such cases. But what I'm saying, up until then, when there were strong family values, it was still the family's responsibility to take care of the elderly. When we, us grandpas, where we get to where we can't go anymore. And I hope we can keep promoting that. There have been a number of, I know the old colony Mennonites in Mexico, they have a fine facility for their old folks where they go to, and some other Mennonite groups among us. And I think Virginia Conference has one in Virginia, and there are probably many others where. And it just gets to be the thought that when the grandpas get old enough and they get to where they're maybe tottery just a little bit, we'll go to the old folks' home. I don't believe that was God's way. I have seen it, and I see it right now in our family where they're taking care of, our son's taking care of his mother-in-law, and those children in there helping. That is preparing them. That is giving them a mindset. You care for your own people. And I want to just drive a nail in. Let's not lose that. Let's take care of our old people like God intended for us to. I have seen so many people and even some of the Mennonite retirement centers, and there's no reason they couldn't be home in almost good health yet. But they got old enough and maybe a little tottery, I don't know what all. So they go to the nursing home, and they could be at home being a blessing to their children. They wouldn't be in anybody's way even. Okay, it's 3:00. Now, do y'all know how I really feel about it? God bless you. I've enjoyed being here and just connecting again, and wish you God's blessing. Keep up the good work. I surely didn't mean to discourage anybody with anything, but I just wanted to encourage us, and that we would all have this from the bottom of our heart. I'm determined, and I've made up my mind. I will serve the Lord. God bless you.